The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Welcome to Functional Health Radio on this station and also streaming on NorthIdahoRadio.com. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness coach, and I own a gym in Sandpoint called The Shed. And I'm here with Jill Kahn. Jill is a marriage and family therapist and has a practice in Sandpoint. And every month we come together and discuss topics on mental health, relationships, and fitness. And today's topics, Jill, are really great. And I was wondering, we're going to talk about the mental rut that a lot of us are in. I swear I have this. It's called languishing. And that is something that's come about after COVID. Is that correct?
Yes. And I came across this and I thought, that is a wonderful descriptor
yes.
of what I've been experiencing with
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
So we'll get into it in detail. And I just think it's really helpful to identify and label what's going on
right.
and then talk about what we can do to ameliorate
yeah.
this,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
to deal with it better.
And then yeah. we're also going to talk about our increase in alcohol use as
yes.
a country and as a world, right? And,
yes.
And kind of looking at how do we know if we are starting to have a problem?
Yes. And I think this is a very important thing to talk about because you and I have talked about the issues with people using food and alcohol to
mm-hmm.
cope and really looking at that carefully and saying, how am I doing with this?
Yeah.
So
smart.
We have a lot
great
of
discussion.
Interesting stuff to talk about.
So what have you been up to?
Well, the big thing for me is Cammie's getting married May 1st.
Wow.
So we have been really, you know, trying to get all the last details together. And I'm just so excited about that. And what I was saying to my husband is it makes me incredibly happy that my children are marrying such wonderful human
mm-hmm.
beings. So I feel absolutely sure that Nick will take care of my daughter emotionally,
that
financially.
Yeah.
It's like he's a wonderful human being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an incredible gift.
Yeah.
And Ellie's just like an angel.
Right.
She's so great to have in our family. So I'm very excited about the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first big event.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the big news.
Is it going to be up in this area?
It's in Boise.
Okay.
It's in Boise, so.
Well, maybe the weather will be a little nicer.
Yeah, I think it. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah.
So what about you, Jen?
Busy. I am getting ready for, well, first thing, Jeff and I are focusing on cutting out a lot of sugar in our diet.
Good for you.
And it's made a huge difference for him weight-wise and for me just, I think, I'm not relying on it to pick me up with my energy.
Yeah.
So I'm more aware of when I actually need more sleep.
That's good. That's really
so,
good.
Yeah. So that's been an interesting shift and more salads and just fresh foods. And I think it was real easy to get into the comfort food routine with being at home more and, you know, winter.
Yeah. So. Well, and we've done the same thing. I'm not, no more kettle chips in the house.
Yeah. Good girl.
Got that out. And we've really been limiting our use of wine during the week.
Mm-hmm.
So we're paying attention to some of the changes in
yeah, we're doing
we
that too.
The other thing I forgot to say that I'm really excited about is I got my first injection of PRP.
Oh, right. We talked about that last
plasma
show.
Plasma rich, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Eluded me. But it was painful for 2 minutes,
uh-huh.
really painful. But the net effect, it's immediately, and he said we wouldn't notice it for a few weeks or even months, but it immediately feels so much better. So
nice.
I got two more injections of that, so I'm very encouraged
and
about
that. And what is that supposed to do?
That should either delay or maybe eliminate the need for a joint replacement.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the one unreplaced joint. But if we can use this, we might be able to stave it off or because it regenerates your cartilage.
Oh, interesting.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
It's amazing what they can do now.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So, yeah, I'm feeling like the other day I thought, I feel like I could run.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, my joints are doing so much better.
Oh, that's great.
It's exciting.
Yeah, well, I started running again.
Did you?
Yeah. So it's not going well, but
well, Why do you say that?
Running is hard. And I used to run a ton, as you know.
Yes.
And race. And so a group of us, we were doing the Spokane to Sandpoint relay in the past. And we would do an ultra team or smaller teams, but we're definitely going to have a full team. I just hadn't been running. I was burnt out on it.
Yeah.
And was enjoying mountain biking and doing other activities. So, but I am doing it this year, and it'll be interesting. It's good that I'm starting over, and I'm also helping other people start so I can relate to what they're going through.
Yes.
And we can also go at it at a good pace and not try to take on too many miles right away.
Good.
So smart training. But it is kind of eye-opening. If you don't do something for a while, getting back into it can be a little rough.
Yeah, I do not like taking time out from working out because it's hard when you get back.
It is hard. And fortunately, we live where we do, and we can get into the woods. And I've been enjoying running on the trails, which I prefer. And gosh, the moss is so green right now. It's amazing. So doing that, even my daughters are going to do the relay with me.
Wow, cool.
So it'll be fun. So I'm looking forward to that. And like I said, we're changing our food, and I think that helps also. And the Scenic Half Marathon is coming back this year.
Oh, good.
Yeah, September 11th will be the day of the race.
Oh, I'm going to mention that. Cammie's doing Roby Creek next weekend.
Oh, nice. Whoa.
But I should let her know. Maybe she'll come and
The half is
that.
Back. So we'll have that half and the 10K and a 5K. Not sure of the route yet because all the construction's going on, but we have our first meeting this week, so I'm excited.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Glad to hear that.
And my seeds are coming up.
Yay.
Yeah, we started them inside, and I'm a little worried.
Well, I posted the other day, and it's like, my poor daffodils are confused with the snow flying around.
Yeah, it's...
I know, because we do have our bulbs coming up, and so what seeds,
these are for the garden.
Okay.
Yeah, all the vegetables, which I think we're growing extra because I feel like the cost of food is so much right now that I can share these with, what we have, the extra with the kids and friends.
Yeah.
And so,
nice.
Yeah, big garden coming, hopefully.
Oh, good.
Minus the freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll start our conversation on that mental rut we might be experiencing. This is Functional Health Radio. Welcome back. This is Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness coach and gym owner. My gym here in Sandpoint's called The Shed. And I'm here with licensed marriage and family therapist Jill Kahn. And she has a practice in Sandpoint. And today's show, we're going to be talking about something called languishing. It's the mental rut that a lot of us are experiencing.
So, yes, I came across this term the other day, and I thought, oh, yes, this is a great descriptor for what I'm hearing from people in my practice, right? So it's not really depression. It's and we'll delineate that, the difference between languishing and depression. But what it is it's a sort of apathy, a sense of restlessness or feeling unsettled or just an overall lack of interest in life or the things that typically would bring you joy. So you feel some sense of stagnation and emptiness, kind of like you're going through your days through a foggy windshield, and it's the product of the uncertainty and limits brought on by the pandemic.
Right. So another show, I think we talked about the COVID fatigue so this must be what's the continuing
as
life
phase.
Goes on.
Yes. Yes. So we're doing the reentry thing, but this is we haven't really come out of the muck.
Right.
Right. So, the most common markers of languishing are low motivation, which a lot of people are feeling, difficulty concentrating, poor energy, and it can affect your appetite and sleep, right? So people are maybe eating too much, they're maybe sleeping too much or not enough, those kinds of things. But it's sort of the dominant emotion these days for a lot of people. An international study looked at data from participants in 78 different countries between April and June of 2020, and found that 10% of people experienced languishing during the pandemic. But now in 2021, there was a survey that looked at specifically Americans, and that showed that 20% of Americans are languishing. And this state of blah was found to be most common in millennials, right?
Yeah. And I can see it. When I was reading this, I was wondering, well, why? Why would it be that group? But yeah, I'm looking at my kids who are all millennials, except for my youngest, and they've all gone to remote work. So they're working at home. Everything is through Zoom.
Yes.
So you don't really have, Zoom's one, it was great when we couldn't even be around people.
Right.
But that connection is not happening.
The connection's not the same, and it just changes the way that you are. It pulls you in to want to be more at home and nesting rather than being out there in the world and engaged. And,
right.
and as we go through this descriptor, that's a problem, right?
And I'm wondering if more introverts are experiencing this versus people who are blasting out and when we're back out there, we're around people again.
That's an interesting question because I think conversely, certain introverts are doing well during this period because it's the way they like living, right?
I did like it.
So anyway, all interesting questions that were up for discussion, right? We'll see. And I think we don't really have enough information yet to know how all this is affecting us. But so languishing can be a precursor for depression. So they are a bit different. And depression is characterized by emotional, mental, behavioral, and physiological symptoms, which include things like fatigue, sleeping too much or too little, weight loss or gain, having negative thoughts, and some suicidal thoughts. So languishing shares some of those same symptoms, but it's especially having negative emotions. But it's also characterized by not feeling in control of your life, which is what almost all of us are experiencing, right? And feeling like you aren't able to grow or to change, one part of it, but also not engaging with your community, including friends and family. So I think that is something that we're still contending with. Like, I have some of my friends who did get COVID recently. So that, it's not like it's over.
No, it continues.
It continues. And our friends say, oh, well, I can't really see you. I got COVID. And and I think we're also a little reluctant to do certain things, whether it's because of COVID or just because we've gotten accustomed to being more secluded.
Right.
Yeah. Which is not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah.
So people who are languishing face a risk of major depressive episode that's 2 times higher than those that are moderately mentally healthy and almost 6 times greater than those who are flourishing.
Wow.
So it is something to really look at. And we want to look at, so what does that mean to flourish? What's the distinction between languishing and flourishing? So flourishers are people who experience high levels of mental health. And flourishers are 7 times less likely to experience depression than people with lower levels of well-being, like languishers.
Okay.
And flourishing is shown to protect against depression, right? So I think about this, and I think that I'm probably most of the time someone who is a flourisher. But I also know that there are times when depression can happen, right?
Yeah.
It's not that you're immune to it.
Right.
It's that most of the time you have coping methods or ways of being that are different. So positive feelings and functioning in life indicate flourishing mental health. So languishing exists at the opposite end of that spectrum and refers to lower levels of positive feelings and lower functioning in life. Languishing is joyless, whereas a person who is reaching their full potential of capturing life's joy is flourishing.
Yeah, it's complicated. I read this like 3 times. I'm still struggling a little bit, but I think if you're always, well, I'll use myself as an example. Like, it's easy for me to kind of be depressed, especially in the winter.
Especially in the winter for me, yes.
And then you add, you know, people still getting sick or, you know, slow numbers in the gym because people don't want to be around each other or everyone's wiped out because they're sick again. You know, all these things, it's easy to go down, but it's also easy to come back out of that. So if you're depressed, that's where it's difficult to,
you're
more help.
You stay lower, right? I mean, most of us have that kind of up and down,
right
depending on circumstances, sure. right? But somebody who's got clinical depression mm-hmm. is below the normal line okay. almost all of the time,
so
and they rarely
go up. So if you have this languishing personality, whatever you're dealing with, you're more likely to go down.
You are, okay. yeah. And the languishing, I think, is to some extent a current phenomenon, mm-hmm. right? That people who may not be typically languishers mm-hmm. may be languishing now because of the circumstances.
Right.
So it involves a general pulling back from life and involves a decrease in positive feeling states. Now, flourishing, in contrast to that, involves engaging with life in positive, healthy ways as well as enjoying positive mood states. Flourishing mental health does not mean that you're happy all the time or that your life is perfect. It instead means that you are facing life's ups and downs with hope and resilience, mm-hmm. right? And I think mm-hmm. that's really an important piece. Mm-hmm. Rather than letting it get you down, you're kind of saying, okay, well, we've got this to deal with. How are we going to get through mm-hmm. it? While both languishers and flourishers value having meaning in their life, goals, and relationships, languishers tend to be more self-oriented.
Oh.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
And they want to find their own meaning and improve their own happiness. Flourishers, on the other hand, are more focused on others and contributing to greater good.
Mm.
So they tend to be more probably caretakers of others mm-hmm. rather than
self. Yeah, they're thinking outside. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. The way languishers and flourishers connect is also different. While both groups value friend relationships, languishers tend to feel their pets or possessions are most important to them, while flourishers feel connecting to their society, community, or culture was most important. Mm-hmm. That shows us that flourishers are much more focused on connecting with other people, mm-hmm. while languishers search for alternative ways of feeling connected.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Pets,
huh?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Because there are some people where their pets are their main
oh yeah
source of engagement.
Yes.
Yes.
And there's a lot of, because remember when the pandemic started, all the adoptions that were going on with
yes.
animals. And I think those relationships developed.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And then it is very interesting how they even, you know, my dog is my dog.
Yes.
Not my child.
Right. Yes.
And so it is fascinating, though.
Yes. Well, we've got Timo, my son's dog, while they're in Italy. And, you know, Timo thinks he can just jump up on the bed.
Yeah.
And Alex and I are saying, no, we have a double bed.
Right.
You guys have a queen or king size bed, and there may be space on your bed.
Yeah.
There is not on ours.
We have the no dog rule also.
No. So, yeah, I think that it is an interesting distinction to make, right,
mm-hmm.
that there is a therapeutic value in engaging with your friends, your family, mm-hmm. your community, giving back to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So do we want to do symptoms before we
take
a break?
Well, let's take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll continue on and talk about the symptoms. We're talking about a syndrome called, I don't know if syndrome's the right word. I keep saying that.
I think that works.
It's called languishing.
Yeah.
And it's a mental rut that a lot of us are in, and I'm definitely dabbling in it. All right. You're listening to Functional Health Radio. Welcome back. This is Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barden. I'm a fitness coach and gym owner, and my gym's called The Shed here in Sandpoint, and I'm joined by marriage and family therapist Jill Kahn, and she has a practice in Sandpoint. We're talking today about languishing, or this mental rut that a lot of us are experiencing after COVID. So let's talk about the symptoms, Jill.
So here's how
yeah.
you might identify
okay.
if you're languishing. So feeling disconnected or dissociated from your coworkers, being irritable, confused, or sad.
Mm.
And my sense is that there's an uptick in irritability in general
mm-hmm.
with people. I'm noticing that in my practice.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And we've noticed it. We've talked about it. Like
yeah.
just people driving, the
yes.
fuse is shorter.
The fuse is
yeah.
shorter. And
yeah.
and I notice it with me.
Yeah.
You know, there are times when I just get much more, I'm easier to get angry, which is not
mm-hmm.
my typical state. An inability to get excited about upcoming projects.
Mm-hmm.
difficulty focusing or remembering.
Yes.
Yes. Words. I keep thinking, what's that?
I can't.
Word again?
That's my problem. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
Cynicism about your leaders, colleagues, or career. Mm. I noticed that a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, complaining about other people.
Yes.
Right? It's where there seems to be a deficit of being able to give people grace or have compassion.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that being cynicism is part of it. Procrastination or lack of motivation to complete assignments. A lack of energy.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are experiencing that. Yeah.
I mean, I see it. I saw it today in the gym. It was, I don't know if the wind and cold is affecting it, but wow, the energy level was not what it normally is.
Yes.
And it, I think it just, it's another thing.
Yeah.
You know?
And I know for me that when I go and take a class and work out, mm-hmm. there's an immediate uptick in energy.
It always helps.
It helps so much. Yeah. So, but it's hard. You have to get yourself.
You have to get there.
Yeah.
Get into the door.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
A sense of emptiness or existential crisis. An absence of well-being, even though you're not sick,
mm-hmm.
right? That just sort of malaise, mm-hmm. where you just don't feel very good. An inability to describe your feelings. So I'm experiencing this a lot, where I'll ask people, what are you feeling? Well, I don't know, right? Or they're having a hard time, really. And I've told a lot of people lately, Google the feelings wheel, right?
Oh,
get yourself a diagram that shows the whole list of feelings so you can go and pick out what am I feeling.
Yeah.
Feeling as if there's nothing to look forward to. And I think that's been kind of a thing for many people, is we're not really sure if we're going to be able to travel.
Right.
Right? So we plan trips. We've had to cancel them. Who knows?
Right.
My friend who's in Ireland got COVID there.
Wow. I not tell you, traveling to New York this spring changed my mental health quite a bit.
Yes.
Like, it really gave me something to be excited about. And it wasn't just right before, because I think one of the things was not looking forward to things. I think I was looking forward to it, but probably not how I would normally.
Right.
And boy, it was just kind of a game changer to be around people and seeing so many things again and eating out and doing what I've missed.
Well, we'll talk about that as one of the things to do, because it we do.
Yeah.
We need new stimulation.
For sure.
So that is one of the ways that we can help ourselves. Mm-hmm. But the problem is if you don't have the energy to plan the trip, right? And you feeling like we don't have anything to look forward to, feeling as if you're just going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the one that I think we're going to be moving into in a minute,
which
is engaging in risky behaviors to try to break the blah feeling, right? So those are some of the symptoms too that we can identify this syndrome. So how do we cope with languishing?
Right.
The first thing that we can do is acknowledging. I love this term because it allows us, we know that when we can label something, we deal with it better.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I am languishing. So we identify that, we label that. The other thing is validating your feelings, right? If you're having a hard time, and rather than denying it or pretending it's not there, really validating, I am having a hard time.
Yeah,
this is what's
going
on.
I think it's so important.
Yes. So that's one of the best things that you can do. I'm having a lot of people do that exercise of the mad, sad, glad, where they identify their feelings on a daily basis.
And we share it with someone who we trust. Yeah.
Either write it in your journal, right? Mm-hmm. Or ideally, you have that conversation with the people in your family.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great exercise for kind of working through some of this.
And the job of the other person is not necessarily to fix it.
It's not.
No. Just to listen.
Empathy.
I think listening makes a huge difference.
And that may be the topic of our next show.
Yeah.
So anyway, this has been something big on my radar screen. So another thing we do is connect with people you trust and love.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really important. And I think there is a certain caution about reaching out and reconnecting with people, but it makes such a difference. And we know that laughter and friendship are great antidotes mm-hmm. for negative feelings and depression.
Yes.
So important for us to do what we can to, whether it's a small gathering at a dinner party that we feel safe, or, you know, we went out and listened to my son play music last mm-hmm. night. And
oh, nice.
We did it kind of in a safe way where we sure. sat at our own table. But it was so joyful to
right.
be able to listen to him play, mm-hmm. be around other people and have that. So we need that. You know, go to coffee with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Go for a walk with them. The other thing is either take time off or reduce your workload. So that's sort of that idea of work-life balance.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that I'm really working on, we had a show on that too, and it made an impact because I am taking days here and there.
Yes.
Life is too short.
And I am doing that too.
Yeah.
I'm really paying attention to trying to work fewer hours
mm-hmm.
and to take maybe a day off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not so good at that. But,
I know. Yeah.
We need to do that. And even if it's just a staycation, it doesn't,
mm-hmm.
or that we go an overnight
yeah.
someplace.
Yeah.
But that is really important for us. So be very intentional in seeking joy.
Yes.
So know what the things are that bring you joy.
Right.
Yeah.
And surrounding yourself. I wanted to go back to, you know, we all have all kinds of friends. But really what I'm trying to do is focus more on having very good friendships with a mutual, where it's mutual. Where
yes.
When I ask someone how they're doing, they in turn care also and
yes.
ask the same. I think that's more fulfilling and it helps my mental state. Instead of just pouring it out all the time.
Yeah. There needs to be that reciprocal flow
mm-hmm.
of energy. That's
yeah.
important. And, you know, identifying. So what does make us feel? I mean, dancing for me.
Right.
I love to dance.
Mm-hmm.
That brings me just joy.
Mm-hmm.
Or decorating flowers, right? I mean, I'm
yes.
arranging flowers.
Sure.
I love working with flowers. But maybe having a list of those things that really bring us joy and making sure that we incorporate that into our life every
mm-hmm.
day.
Filling up those times instead of doing the destructive things
yeah.
to try to find it.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Change your scenery. Travel, right?
Yeah.
So that's exactly
yeah.
what you were talking
yeah.
about, Jen.
Yeah.
Travel is one of the things that we know really makes a difference in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us not only to feel better, but also to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it may be complicated these days to do some of that traveling,
there are some extra steps.
There
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
And that's true. And you can do a road trip.
Mm-hmm.
You can get on the train. It doesn't have to be that you fly, but you might. But really changing your scenery and finding ways to get out of your zip code
mm-hmm.
is very, very important. We need yeah. that new stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a client who just got back from Disney World, and she's not going back, but she went with some grandkids. It was so crowded, they said. They could not believe
wow.
all the people. But it's got to be that finally people can go,
yes.
or they've booked these trips 2 years ago that were on hold, and now everyone's great. You know, I have so many people out of town right now on trips.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for them. I mean, I hope they come back with just new, yay!
Yes, yes, yeah. So that's important. Perform acts of kindness. So I don't know if we talked about this last show, but I mean, little things like I was at the dollar store getting some readers.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy ahead of me, he didn't have enough money,
mm.
right? And I said, how much do you need? And he
yeah.
said, you know, a dollar. And I said, oh, here.
Exactly.
I would have been giving him more,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
And he was so grateful. I was
mm-hmm.
tiny,
yeah.
right? So I mentioned this to, I think I mentioned it to one of my clients. Anyway, they made a scholarship for
oh.
clients who really needed therapy but maybe didn't have
oh,
the money
amazing.
To do that.
Yeah.
So just, and it doesn't have to be with money. It can be with helping
mm-hmm.
somebody with their groceries
right.
or, but those kinds of paying attention to other
mm-hmm.
people and what they need
mm-hmm.
and how you might make a difference,
yeah.
That's important.
Yeah, it feels good.
One of the things that I've been doing recently is contributing more to causes
mm-hmm.
that I have a little extra cash and to put it into places where I feel like that money could be well used.
Yeah.
So that's
nice.
Another way
that's
to do
wonderful.
It. Practice gratitude and reflect on what's going well. And I've been pushing this a lot with my clients too, mm-hmm. because people come in and they focus on what's wrong.
Right.
And sometimes I have to say, yeah, those things are true. And in the general scheme of things, look at what you've got, what's mm-hmm. going well. So similar to that, try to use less negative language.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Turn it around.
Yeah. instead of saying what's wrong, ask for what it is you need.
Yeah.
Yeah? There are ways to shift your language mm-hmm. that are less negative. And finally, actively seek out positive experiences.
Good.
Yeah.
Nice.
So those are our symptoms.
That's great. We can do it, people.
We can
blast out.
Yes. Yes.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about alcohol use.
Yes.
And are we going over the line? Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's an important thing for everyone to look at, especially these days.
Yes.
All right. This is Functional Health Radio. Welcome back to Functional Health Radio on this station, also streaming on NorthIdahoRadio.com. I'm Jen Barden. I am a fitness coach, and I own a gym in Sandpoint called The Shed, and I'm here with my co-host, Jill Kahn. Jill is a marriage and family therapist and practices in Sandpoint. And we just finished a great discussion on languishing and the mental rut that a lot of us are in, but there's some alcohol drinking going on also to kind of cope with how we're feeling.
Unfortunately, the coping method, right?
Yeah.
For the last couple of years, it's changed the way we drink.
Yeah.
So alcohol consumption is definitely up. Heavy drinking among women in particular mm-hmm. is really up. So the new data says that the number of alcohol-related deaths, including liver problems and accidents, jumped by 25%.
Oh, my gosh.
That's kind of shocking, isn't
yeah.
it? With people working remotely, you didn't have to, adhere to normal hours, so people started drinking during the day. That's more common.
Yeah.
And alcohol became an easy fix to get through hard times. So we should all check in with ourselves about our relationship with alcohol. And here are five simple questions to ask. First of all, have my patterns changed, right? So the number of gray area drinkers mm-hmm. is on the rise. And these are people that don't necessarily have a specific alcohol problem. But if you find yourself questioning your relationship with alcohol, you should explore why. So keep track of what mm-hmm. how much you're eating, drinking, when you're drinking. Be honest with yourself about whether those habits mm-hmm. have changed. Are you someone who used to drink only socially, but now you drink every night? Or are you drinking more in one city than you used to?
Mm-hmm.
So you look at those patterns. So number two, am I thinking about drinking during the day?
Mm-hmm.
So are you thinking about 5 o'clock when it comes so you can have a glass of wine or a beer? So obviously you might
right.
be thinking about looking forward to a social event where you're going to be meeting somebody for a happy hour or having a dinner party. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a consistent thing that you're thinking about that first drink I can have, take a look at it.
Yeah.
And then number three, am I able to stick to the limits I set for myself? So oftentimes when we're looking at this, we set goals for ourselves.
Mm.
So that might be to only drink on certain nights of the week or limit how many drinks you have on
right.
a given night. If you find you're making these kinds of goals and you don't follow them, it's a good idea to explore why. So you might really say, I've gotten into a pattern that you need help in breaking. So number four, can I step away from drinking for a bit? So I always think mm-hmm. it's useful to periodically take a break from the alcohol use and see how it goes.
Right.
So you might say, I'm not going to drink for the next 2 weeks. And if it becomes something that's really uncomfortable or difficult to do, then you really do need to assess and reevaluate. Yeah. So those kinds of deliberate breaks can help you break a bad habit. And that dry January can change people's drinking habits for months. So it's a really good thing to do. And then the last one, five. Ask what your friends or family think about your alcohol consumption, yeah. right? Sometimes yeah. we don't notice
exactly.
it, but the people around us might be a little bit worried. Sure. So check in with a trusted friend or family member to get feedback. Mm-hmm. Ask them if they notice any changes in your drinking or your behavior, anything that's a problem. And especially if you feel like you need to hide how much you're drinking, that's a red flag. Yeah.
And probably how you react when you don't like the answer.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So if you're concerned about your answers to these questions, mm-hmm. you need to do something about mm-hmm. it. So there are many options. It doesn't mean you have to necessarily give up alcohol. Some people may need to do that, especially people who are big binge drinkers and can't mm. stop once they get started, or if it's somebody who's got a serious problem. But for a lot of us, it's a matter of just really evaluating and scaling back. So if you do think that you need some help, reach out to your primary care physician or a mental health provider. There are lots of support groups. Some of them are online, mm-hmm. so many people don't really want to go to AA, but you could do an online support mm-hmm. group, which is a good one. There are all kinds of supports that can help us. And the biggest question to ask yourself is, am I in control of my alcohol consumption, or is it in control of me?
Mm. Yeah, I think a lot of people got into a routine or a habit, and, you know, and they're working from home.
Yep.
I remember I believe alcohol sales went up 80% in that first month yeah. of the lockdown.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, if you're not having to drive, right? You're
right.
not going out to dinner.
Yeah.
Then drinking and driving is an issue, so people drink more.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think if you're maybe not where you're at the point where you need help. I mean, there are some strategies just to live a little healthier. You know, like Jeff and I are now, we go for walks in the evening or right in the late afternoon when yeah. normally you'd want to sit and relax and have a glass of wine. Now let's go for a walk.
Yes.
You know, do you have a soda water that you like or a sparkling water?
Oh, yeah. We have a huge refrigerator filled with all different flavors of bubbly water.
Yeah. And just putting that in a nice glass.
Yes.
Something in your hand, and it's really some simple changes you can make to get in some better, healthier habits.
Yeah, the sparkling water, I think, is a great alternative mm-hmm. that isn't sugary and still is kind of festive and fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, so you could even socialize
yeah.
and go to a party and still
yeah.
have that. And I think there's just some deeper health issues from drinking that I've just been made aware of that I had no idea talking to a friend.
So let's talk yeah. about that, yeah? So with the increase of alcohol, that I think most people don't understand how correlated that is with breast cancer. That has become the most common cancer globally. And interesting, I had no idea it was
yeah.
so high. 12.9% of women, that's 13%, born in the United States today, will develop breast cancer at some time during their lives. 13%.
Mm. That's a huge number.
More than 2 million new cases were estimated in 2020, and about 100,000 of these were attributable to alcohol consumption. Right?
Wow.
So it's definitely correlated, and I think we need to understand that by reducing alcohol, they can reduce their risk of getting breast cancer.
Mm.
And there isn't really a safe level of alcohol consumption. The risk of breast cancer increases with each unit of alcohol consumed per day. So even with just one bottle of beer or two small glasses of wine, that increases your risk by 10%.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's just something we need to start looking at.
Yes.
You know, we're taking all these health precautions for COVID, and, you know, and alcohol is increasing our blood pressure. It's increasing, you know, cancers. And I think in the next 5 years, there's going to be a huge shift in, you know, what are the illnesses that we're dealing with as a nation.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Yes. This has taken a toll on us,
yeah.
this pandemic,
yeah.
in many, many ways.
Yeah.
And I think the more conscious we become of what we're doing in our everyday life, that'll make a difference.
Yeah. I would just encourage everyone to reach out if they're struggling.
Yes.
There's probably national hotlines, but also there's wonderful therapists in our community that I know everyone's stressed and busy, but reach out. Don't use that as an excuse.
Yes.
And get some help.
Yes.
You know, get your family wrapped around you.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Well, Jill,
Here no languishing for us.
No,
we're
moving on.
Yes.
No, I feel great. And I'm excited for spring. So
me too.
I'll see you in May.
Yes.
All right.
Have a good month.
This has been Functional Health Radio.